From South Los Angeles to Washington, D.C., and many points in between, this is Political Talk on AnnenbergRadio.org and NeonTommy.com. I'm Max Schwartz, along with Katie Gregg and Jenna DeKnight. This is our final show of the semester, something we will discuss later. Without further ado, let's get started. On this week's broadcast, Katie Gregg will be giving the wrap-up.
Thanks, Max. The mandated budget cuts, known as the sequester, managed to make its way back into the news last week because of the country's air traffic controllers. With funding slashed, government agencies have been forced to cut back programs and send employees home on unpaid leave. This week, the budget cuts were felt by a large swath of the public, especially those trapped on tarmacs or the victims of canceled flights because 1,500 flight controllers were furloughed. There have been two main responses. The first is to accuse the administration of playing political games, choosing where to cut so as to support its own messages. The second pressing response has been to fix the FAA problem and leave the rest. On Wednesday, FAA Chief Michael Huerta argued that consumers couldn't be sheltered from cuts because air traffic controllers make up most of the FAA's payroll. Congress passed a bill on Friday to send air traffic controllers back to work, ending their mandated furlough day for the controllers. The bill authorizes the Department of Transportation to move $253 million in unspent construction funds to pay for these controllers. President Obama is expected to sign the bill.
White House Press Secretary Jay Carney.
The fact that that is what it took reinforces what we have been saying, which is that Congress failed to eliminate the sequester. It is within Congress's power to reverse that decision, take action in a balanced way.
Earlier this month, the FAA announced it would make up its $637 million share of the cuts by furloughing 47,000 employees for up to 11 days over the course of the summer, including nearly 13,000 air traffic controllers. The department can now spend these funds to pay air traffic controllers and other essential employees of the Federal Aviation Administration. In addition, another round of the budget cuts will go into effect on October 1st, unless Democrats and Republicans can reach a new budget agreement. So what exactly are you guys thinking on this issue? Like, do you think that, well, first of all, do you think Obama is going to be signing the bill within the next couple days?
Well, absolutely he's going to be signing the bill. And the only reason he didn't do that on today, Monday, is because there was a typo in the actual bill.
So that's what's
holding it up. But this is going to be something he's going to sign right away. And
well, do you think that the two sides are agreeing on this because it's an issue that's affecting both of them? Do you think that's why it's like such a...
I mean, I think a lot of this has to do because it's affecting them personally.
Right,
if it wasn't affecting them personally, then
exactly.
We'd be in a different situation here. Again, the question was referring to the furloughs itself, which goes back to stemming from the sequester.
I just think this was one of the more like visible cuts.
Yeah.
It impacted more people, and like a lot of the other spending cuts are still happening, but we just don't see them as much.
What sort of impact do you believe this could have on the 2014 midterm elections?
You know, I think that government officials, politicians who are more willing to represent the smaller people, you know, the people who aren't flying, you know, who need the Meals on Wheels, those programs, and aren't
a good platform
voicing their issues as much. I think people, representatives who are willing to, you know, fight for those people will gain a lot more support in those elections.
Right.
But I think this will ultimately go back to, will the politicians that cause this for this inconvenience, because that's really what it is. It's not more than a mass inconvenience to people, which has frustrated the heck out of people. Will this lead to their unseating in? Will this lead to their unseating in Congress? That's the big question.
I don't know if it will or not, but I do think that it provides an advancement, like a good new platform for people that are willing to speak for the smaller, the minorities in society that are underrepresented.
I happen to disagree with you on the first portion of what you said, because there are Congress people in Senate from both houses of our bicameral legislature who are at big risk of being unseated. So I think this very well could be the straw off the camel's back that breaks the camel's back. It will just be interesting to see what else happens until November 2014 that will lead to this.
Yeah, we'll just have to see how it plays out, I guess. But I mean, thank you. I'm glad we had such a great discussion about that. Now let's go to Max of Syria.
Thank you, Jenna. Syria has used chemical weapons on its own people. This use, however, does not cross President Obama's so-called red line of a military response to the use of chemical weapons. The information released by the United States on Thursday is the same assessment some members of the European Union have made before. An unnamed White House official said that the U.S. intelligence community does assess with varying degrees of confidence that the Syrian regime has used chemical weapons on a small scale in Syria. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney.
The White House has said it has been assessed by our intelligence community with varying degrees of confidence that the Syrian regime has used chemical weapons.
Intelligence indicates that sarin was the chemical used in the attacks on the rebels. Sarin is an odorless chemical that can be used either in a gas form or a liquid form. It is a sometimes lethal nerve agent that can cause illness, paralysis, or death if given a high enough dose. Wired.com reported that blood taken from Syrian people has tested positive for sarin. They received their information from a source within United States intelligence. The United States will investigate the matter further and has called on the United Nations to launch their own investigation. One incident in March stands out as where the agent was used. The unnamed White House official said that the March incident in Aleppo was one of the reports that the United States has been following up on. On March 19th, the Syrian regime attacked the opposition in Aleppo and other cities. The World Tribune reported that at the time of the attack, the opposition said 31 people died. Assad has said that he would not use chemical weapons on his own people. President Obama has said that military action is not off the table, but he does appear reluctant to use that type of force at the present time. So, with that in mind, I'd like to take us back to the varying degrees of confidence, and I think that's the key here that's holding President Obama up on military action. He wants to ensure that we have 100% hard evidence that we do, in fact, that the Assad regime did, in fact, use chemical weapons. And as I pointed out earlier, more or less, they want to avoid invading on misinformation like happened in Iraq. Yeah. So my question to you using that is, what do you believe Obama's so-called red line is? And do you believe he will actually use military force if this is crossed?
I think that his red line is basically just ensuring that chemical weapons were used, because, as we said, we don't want another, you know, accidental invasion, almost just like, you know, intervening on hearsay, because it's not worth it for our troops to go into that if we don't have solid proof of that that's what's really happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think his red line is just like, you know, he wants to be assured that this is going on, because, I mean, if not, it's obviously putting our troops at risk, and there's no need to do that if it's not really the case.
Yeah, and especially if we're reducing our military from going from a two-war-capable country to a one-war-capable country. What, you were going to add something, Katie?
Right. I just think that President Obama is going to want to make sure that he has really sufficient evidence that this chemical is being used, and not just by, you know, other rebels or anything. He needs to be sure that it's the Assad regime that's using these horrible chemicals on, you know, citizens of Syria before he makes any decisions, because he won't have the support of a vast majority of the American people unless he has that, like,
the concrete evidence.
And it will be interesting to see whether he has the support of the American people anyway, because I know a lot of people are against us invading in a foreign conflict.
Right.
And you speak about the rebels, and I have a New York Times article in front of me now from, what date was it? April 27th by Ben Hubbard. And I'm going to quote this for a moment because you talk about the rebels. Nowhere in rebel-controlled Syria is there a secular fighting force to speak of. Mm-hmm. Now, that just shows you, and as the article explains, these are all Islamist rebel forces. But do you think the fact that this is not a secular movement anymore, or even if it never was, do you think that will at all influence Obama not to use military intervention in a foreign conflict that we are not involved with? We, meaning the United States?
I don't really know if it's our business, per se, then, if it becomes that issue.
I don't think it has anything to do with religion. I think that the invading or not invading, it solely has to do with human rights and what we stand for, like what we will accept as other human beings, like what kind of behavior is acceptable and what is not.
I think that if we are provided with this, with some concrete evidence that, you know, innocent people are being exposed to these toxic gases, I do think that, you know, we will act upon like the rights that we believe in. In which case, I think that Obama would want to, you know, invade and help these people.
Even if you just previously said it's not our business.
Well, I'm saying, but if it becomes a matter of like religious war, then I don't really, you know, I can't say that I think that we have a place in that. But if like innocent people are being harmed, then like that's when I think that, you know, it would be right for us to step in if it came to that.
And he is our president, so I don't really want to talk negatively of him, but he does, for the world to take him seriously and for Congress to actually take him seriously, he needs to walk the talk on this one. He can't just say something and not do it. He actually has to be able to do it, something he hasn't necessarily done in the past. And I think that's going to be key, and I think depending on how what he does with that will influence how both parties in Congress deal with him, how the international world deals with him, and ultimately it could influence how we deal with what happens in the 2014 midterm elections, because people are still upset over what happened in Benghazi.
Yeah.
And I want to go back to what we said about the religion and veering away from religion, but going to another group. A bad transition statement, I know, but... but I want to go back to the article. I want to quote this for a second. It says, among the most extreme groups is the notorious Al-Nusra Front, the Qaeda-aligned force declared a terrorist organization by the United States, Qaeda referring to Al-Qaeda. Then later in this article, we say, but most of Nusra's fighters joined the group for the weapons, not the ideology, he said, and some left after discovering the Qaeda connection. So now bringing that into play, now knowing that... Or now, with the information that we have, that these fighters have some sort of tie to Al-Qaeda, whether it's ideological or not, do you think that at all influences President Obama's decision?
I definitely think that influences his decision. I mean, we
for or against?
To invade.
Okay.
Because, I mean, obviously we have a huge issue with terrorism. I mean, it's something that we don't tolerate. It's something that, and I feel like that's something that... it just kind of unites Americans. Like, we're very against terrorism. And I think that if he were to emphasize that platform, that, you know, these have, like, terrorism ties and whatnot, it's just a matter of defeating these terrorists, ultimately. And it's kind of a victory for everyone if we can help Syria, in this case, to get rid of that for their country, just like we don't want them in ours. I mean, it's just not right, like, to harm innocent people and...
And that region is so volatile between, we have Iran there, we know that they're trying to attain nuclear weapons, and as well as that's been a very volatile region in the past. So any involvement, the president also has to think of what kind of consequences that will leave for our international diplomatic mission. Mm-hmm. And I've got one more question before we move on to the wrap-up. I know our last show is going by very quickly. It's, do you believe there is anything the international community can do if, in fact, Syria has used chemical weapons? Do you think there's anything they can do, and do you think that the United Nations can do anything to stop the further use?
I mean, of course there's something they can do, which would be to use military force. I think that would be the only only option, really, because I don't think there's a point for negotiation with these groups. You know, it's not a government we're talking to. We're talking to, you know, terrorist groups. Mm-hmm. So I don't really think. I think that the only option, obviously, would be to invade. And I don't know whether or not the UN would want to go down that path.
And the UN at this point has been relatively useless because because the Syrians on the ground are not respecting the UN's there, even when they're in UN uniform. But you bring up military intervention, and Israel has the strongest, if not one of the strongest militaries in that region, and they're preoccupied with Iran at the present time. With that, now, after this short music break, Katie Gregg will be on with the wrap-up.
As Jenna mentioned earlier, debate surrounding the sequester resurfaced in full force. This debate resulted from the thousands of flight delays that occurred as a result of impacts that the Federal Aviation Administration felt from the sequester. Some people believe that the flight delays were an intentional political power move. As Max discussed earlier, there is evidence that the domestic use of sarin gas has occurred in Syria. President Obama wants tangible proof that chemical weapons have been used before military action is taken. This may be difficult, however, because United Nations teams have been barred from testing within the nation, so it is unknown how long getting this type of proof will take.
Thank you, Katie. And now we are moving into the one-minute spotlight section, our final one-minute spotlight section of the show. And here is Jenna DeKnight to talk about Wallace Annenberg Hall.
Thanks, Max. After weeks of welding and hard work, the final iron beam was placed on Wallace Annenberg Hall this past Wednesday. This was not only one of the last beams, but also one of the highest points in the structure. Crews cheered as the installation was finalized. Celebration ensued with lunch for the construction crews, signing of the beam, and attaching a U.S. flag and an evergreen tree, which was followed by the hoisting of the beam into position. Once in place, everyone happily shook hands. And on that note, I would just like to say how excited I am for this building. I can't wait to be a part of it and move our little studio into there.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so excited. I cannot wait for it. That's the conclusion of our one-minute spotlight segment. But as I mentioned earlier, we're going to discuss this is our final show of the semester. And on behalf of the Political Talk team and the Annenberg Radio News team, I would like to thank you for listening to all 8 episodes. We will be back next semester, but over the summer we are still available on Twitter by using the hashtag PoliticalTalk and via email at PoliticalTalkPodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear your input. That's one thing that I think we need here and we need in our political system in general is people need to be more involved and people need to go and give their opinions to tell the issues that are important to them. And we want to hear from you in response to all the questions we raised throughout the semester. And we want to hear what you think about our coverage of certain events and what you'd like us to cover more of or less of.
We'd love some viewer support.
Yes. And going back now to a serious point, we have covered a lot of important events this semester, and we really hope you enjoyed all of our 8 semesters and everything we've covered. Did either of you want to add something to that?
Yeah, it's been fun, and we hope that y'all have enjoyed our podcast. And again, we would really like input, any input you have, because, I mean, we're doing this show to inform other people, so it's
nice. And also, it's been a huge learning experience, I mean, at least for myself, but I think it has been for everyone, too.
Right.
Viewer feedback would be greatly appreciated.
And it's been a lot of fun, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. Katie. So now I'd like to thank you for listening to Political Talk. We would like to thank Joel Zink, our engineer, Willa Seidenberg and Karen Lowe, the Annenberg Radio News co-faculty advisors, and Aaron Schrenk, the Annenberg Radio News executive producer, for all of their help. The music used on today's program has been composed, recorded, and provided by Eric Schwartz. From the Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism at the University of Southern California, I'm Max Schwartz.
I'm Katie Craig.
And I'm Jenna DeKnight. Have a great week. We hope to have you back over the summer or next semester. But in the meantime, as Max said, we can be reached at politicaltalkpodcast@gmail.com and on Twitter by using the hashtag politicaltalkpodcast. All audio used in this week's program is courtesy of C-SPAN. Thanks again for listening.